Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Glad that you're here. And we're grateful for your presence. Isn't it marvelous to come together and worship God and offer up praise to Him? And this song we just finished singing, the second verse, really describes the way that we should live. And it says something about us as a people. It says, all my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. That's what He wants. Our service to Him and to Him only. All of our hearts, every aspect of it given to Him and clinging to Him throughout our lives and throughout eternity. We're going to talk some this morning about being fit for the kingdom. And after all, that's what we are a part of and that's what we aspire to. If you turn to Luke chapter 9, we're going to begin in verse 57. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. It says, and as they were going along the road, someone said to Him, that is to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. And He said to another, follow me. But he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No one is fit for the kingdom of God. Now turn over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 28. It says, and one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. Total commitment. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Both of them rely on absolute commitment to what Jesus is saying. And the scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that He is one and there is no one else besides Him. And to love Him with all the heart and with all of the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. More than that. And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. You are not far from the kingdom of God. So when we look at and think in terms about fitting in and about the kingdom, you know, this picture depicts the way two things fit together. It's called a tongue and groove joint. And it is up to us to understand what the kingdom is and what the kingdom demands and what the kingdom says, and then for us to alter our lives and to put on what Jesus would have us to put on so that we will fit in the kingdom. Because if Jesus can be said, no, can say, no one who has put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom, then if there is a way to be unfit for the kingdom, there is also a way to be fit for the kingdom. And so as we go through the lesson, think in terms of this image, that we have the kingdom, we have individuals, and it is up to us to fit to that kingdom and to fit perfectly. And the only way that that can be done is through Jesus Christ and what He has done for us and what He has said. So when we look at the word fit for the kingdom, it means to fit together. Not only externally, but to fit together internally. That again goes back to the heart. You know, with all my heart, I will listen to Him. With all my heart, I will do what He says. I will cling to Him. I will give Him my heart. Fit together internally. It is ready. If you're fit, you're ready for use. If you're preparing and training for something, and once you get to the point where you think you're where you're supposed to be, and you're fit, then you're ready for use. It can be whether we're talking about the Boston Marathon, we're talking about some baseball game. But when you are ready, then you're fit for the use. And you're well adapted. You're well placed so that the most can be gained from your service. There is also the other end of it. If you turn to Luke chapter 14. There are things that Jesus talks about with reference to being unfit for the kingdom. 14 in verses 34 and 35. He says, therefore, and keep in mind, this comes off the heels of Jesus talking about discipleship. And what a disciple should do. And ultimately what Jesus says about discipleship is that you must completely, just like we sang, Jesus completely saves. He wants us to be completely given over to Him. He says more complete and more so than with relationships, more so than burden bearing, more so than any possession that we may have. He says to renounce them all. That's what's expected. Count the cost of discipleship. And so in verse 34, after he says these things to them, he says, therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile, it is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It is unfit. If it's lost its savor. Unfit. And then the passage that we read a few moments ago in Mark chapter 12. You know, we can delude ourselves into thinking that we are ready and that we are right and that we are fit for the kingdom. But there is a way to not be fit. We can't afford to be deluded into thinking whatever it is I think and whatever it is I think being fit for the kingdom is so. That's not so. It's what Jesus does. It's what Jesus expects from us. So it's possible that we can be not far from the kingdom. This man that answered Jesus and that heard Him, he was not far. And perhaps he was not far because he was not yet ready for a total commitment. He accurately described these two laws. But was he ready? Jesus said, not yet. But there is a way to become what Jesus wants us to become. So the first thing we're going to look at then is the striving for the kingdom. So, and there are several things that will help us be fit for the kingdom. If you turn to Matthew chapter 18, the first six verses tells us something about our attitude. Verse 1 says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted Or unless you turn and become like children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Become like children. Now, how do you do that? And what aspect of being a child is he after? He says, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humble himself. Humility is the basis. It is the foundation of everything connected with God. Paul himself talks about the fact that the brethren at Thessalonica, you know, they heard the gospel. They accepted what it was humbly and meekly. That's what we have to be. We have to have a heart of a child, a trusting, obedient heart, to be ready to hear what Jesus says. Verse 5 says, and whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe on me to stumble, it is better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. A child is humble. A child is innocent. We must become innocent. And the only way that we can become innocent is through the justification provided us through Jesus Christ. Then the second thing is to become a servant. If you turn to Matthew 10, become like a servant. Matthew 10 and verse 24. The statement is made, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. This idea of being above seems to permeate a lot of our culture. But there is no place for this in the kingdom. And unless we understand this principle and this concept, we are not going to become what Jesus wants us to become. In John chapter 13, beginning in verse 5, and down through verse 20. Remember, this is the story of Jesus washing the apostles' feet. That he came in and he knelt and he took the water, he took a towel and he washed their feet. And he taught them about what it is to be a servant and what it is to humbly humble yourself before others and especially before God. And of all the things that Jesus could have said towards the end, he chose to talk about humility. He chose to talk about being a servant. So if we are going to be fit for the kingdom, then we must become a servant. And not just a servant to those whom we like or that it's easy, but those that are hard to serve. Because maybe their attitude isn't what it should be. But my service to other people has nothing whatsoever to do with their attitude. Nothing. It has everything to do with mine and with what God expects from me. In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. What are you willing to give? Are you willing to sacrifice eternal life? Unless we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him, we will not be His disciple. We will not be fit for the kingdom. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Paul says that we are to bear one another's burdens. If we are to become what Jesus wants us to become, we must learn what it is to be burden bearers of ourselves and of others, to be fit for the kingdom. In Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11 and verse 23. You know, the thing about things that Jesus says to us is that they're absolutes. And Jesus has the tendency to talk about two things. We're given two options. It's either Jesus or the world. There's not a third option. But sometimes we like to marry those things together, and we want to come up with some kind of a third possibility. So in verse 23, Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Have you ever thought about what that really means? He who is not with me is against me. In other words, you have to declare to be with Him. If you do not declare to be with Him, then you are against Him. Now, you may not say, "I'm against Jesus." But if you're not for Him, then you are against Him. And sometimes we miss that. He says, "He who does not gather with me scatters." It is Jesus or nothing. It is all or nothing. It's renouncing all that we have. It's giving up our earthly relationships and putting them in second place behind the Savior. If we are to love Christ more, then we have to give up everything. If we are fit for the kingdom, then we love Him more than anything else. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Jesus says, "Therefore, you who are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So what exactly does that mean? Perfect. Well, sometimes perfect is defined as mature. Complete. Sometimes it is defined as being without blemish. So what does Jesus mean when He talks about being perfect? It means that He, as a disciple of His, as a person that is fit for the kingdom, what it means is that I am going to turn myself over to Him and allow Him to make me what He wants me to be. We are not going to always be perfect, but every once in a while, do you not find yourself doing something completely perfect? In fact, that's kind of what keeps us going sometimes, is that I did this exactly right. So that pushes you to try it again. And then you keep wondering, well, how come I can't do that again? Because I'm not perfect. I read a story about a man who talks about perfection and the way Jesus looks at perfection. And his analogy centered around being a dentist or being a patient that had an infected tooth and had a sore tooth. And this man, he makes a statement. He says, "Whenever I have a sore tooth, I'm really hesitant to go to my mom and tell her that I have this sore tooth. Because topically, she will take care of it, but then the next day, as far as I'm concerned, it's fine, and I don't have the pain anymore. But the next day, that's not good enough for her. She calls the dentist and puts me in the car and takes me to the dentist." Now, the dentist, he is not satisfied with just topically dealing with it. Sometimes they use things that make you cringe. Drills. And picks and whatever else you have. Because they're trying to get to the root of the problem so you will no longer have that pain again. That it will not come up. In other words, the dentist is trying to make it perfect. That's what Jesus will do. He will make us how He wants us to be if we will but allow Him to do that. Not only will He take care of topically some of the symptoms of sin, He will take care of the root of sin. He will make us perfect. He will make us complete. He will make us into what He would have us to be. To become fit for the kingdom. Being more fit for the kingdom also involves an understanding of some things. Before we go there, if you'll turn in your songbooks to number 352. Number 352. The song is "More Holiness Give Me." The man that wrote this song, his last name was Bliss. And at his funeral, there was a man that got up to talk about him. And he recounted incidents in which he would, and this man was a musician, a songwriter. And he talked about Mr. Bliss and how he viewed his own songs. And so Mr. Bliss was in the audience when this other man was preaching. And the man that was preaching asked him to come up and lead the congregation in "More Holiness Give Me." And he said, "This is our prayer." And Mr. Bliss got to be thinking about that, and he got up and he said, "No, I cannot sing this song like a prayer." And he cited the last line of the first verse. He said, "More joy in His service. More joy in His service. That's what I'm expressing," he says. He said, "This song needs to be sung with vigor because of the joy it expresses. And especially, I believe, because of the second to last line in the song. It says, more fit for the kingdom, more useful I'd be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like Thee." Let's sing this song, please.
More holiness give me, more striving within, more patience in suffering, more durance in, more faith in my Savior, more sense of His care, more joy in His service, more purpose in prayer. More gratitude give me, more trust in the Lord, more pride in His glory, more hope in His word, more tears for His sorrows, more pain at His grief, more meekness in trial, more praise for relief, more purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from earth stains, more longings for home, more fit for the kingdom, more useful I'd be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like Him,
more fit for His kingdom. That's what we're after. And for us to be fit for His kingdom, then we must think in terms of three things. The first is the cause. Have an understanding of what exactly the cause is. If you turn to John 8 and verse 31,
Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So the first thing is understanding the cause. And the cause is centered around his word. He says in three places, in John chapter 14, three verses. You'd think it would get the picture that it's important. John 14, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 23, to keep his commandments. The cause has to do with the kingdom. It has to do with being obedient, understanding who God is, who Jesus is, what the gospel is. And it helps us to be useful in the kingdom if we have a clearer understanding of what the cause is that we're fighting for. And what we're fighting against. Abide in his word. The book of 1 John spends a lot of time talking about how we can abide in God and how God abides in us and how his word abides in us and dwells in us. The cause. We have to also understand about the community. Once we become a part of the kingdom, it's not an isolated existence. It's not something I do without the benefit of relationship with other people. And Jesus makes that perfectly clear. This is a way for people to see what the cause is. It's a way for people to see Jesus in us. So in John 13, in verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. That you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The world will know about Jesus when they see the love that we have for one another. It's pretty clear. If it's so clear, then why do we have such difficulty doing it? Well, I believe the reason we have such difficulty with it is that we don't go back to the very first thing we mentioned about being fit for the kingdom. That is being humble like a little child. And people see that. But if they're going to see Jesus, they have to see our dedication to him and our love for each other. After all, his love for us was the most magnanimous thing you could ever imagine. He gave himself up for us that we might live eternally. He who was perfect, that is without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. He gave himself for us. The least that we could do is love one another the way that he loved us. And thirdly, in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 14. Well, start with verse 13. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, that is God's word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. The world is going to hate us. It hated Jesus. If the world doesn't hate us, then what's missing? Jesus said, if you're my disciples, this is what's going to happen. The commission is for us to go out and to preach the gospel, to show them the gospel in our lives. That's what Jesus was after. That's what we should be after. The world hated him. The world will hate us. But we have hope. We have a Savior who has died for us. We have a Savior that has promised us eternal life. We have a Savior that has done more for us than is imaginable. He said, if you want to be with me, then you have to abide with me in my word. If you want eternal life, then you must have a relationship with the eternal. And that is with the God of heaven and with His Son. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And what Jesus said was to His disciples, He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what He said to do. Heaven is ours. All we have to do is to respond and to take it. Or as a child of God, one of the great things about being a Christian is that when we sin, we can go to God in prayer and He will forgive us. He'll forgive us. If your life is not what it should be, we stand ready this morning to assist you however we can. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?